Welcome to the Entertainment Answer, where we try to have the answer to everything in entertainment. Films, Blu-rays, everything. I'm Brian Kluger, and usually I would have Matt Mungle here, but supposedly he is sick. He called in sick. It's the first time I think he's ever called in sick. We don't know what happened. I don't know if he got sick at a human centipede party, or if he was trying to hang up some home theater equipment and it fell on him. We hope he's okay. I did get a message from him, but it's very mysterious. We don't know. But I know we all talked about last week the movie's coming out. We had a bet going on as if an R-rated Alien sequel was going to beat out the big bad Guardians of the Galaxy. So what happened there?
You are just the smartest man alive, I guess.
I am the smartest man alive. So I was excited that it actually, I mean, I didn't think there it was not going to beat Guardians just because it's like a well-known movie, but do you think it deserved to?
I think so. Just cause I've been, batting for this film cause a lot of people have had plenty of negative things to say about it, and I've just enjoyed it so much. And so I'm happy that it took the number one spot at the box office. I wish it had gotten more, and you were, you know, the numbers were a little bit higher, and the way that you would probably win the bet would be even more so than what it is right now. But, you know, it's I really thought that Guardians was going to be number one just because it I can't remember how much did Guardians get last week?
Oh, was it 62 or 70 million or something like that?
Something like that. I thought it was much higher, but I thought the drop was going to be less significant for them, and that's why I kind of betted on it taking the number one spot again this week, but you beat us all.
You know, I just like, it's Aliens, people like rated R movies, they're going to go see it, and it would be very difficult for people to go see Guardians like a third time or a second time, rather than go seeing this new Alien, on which critics have been very split on. So I'm always curious to see how that rolls. But have you seen it? Have you seen Alien Covenant again?
I haven't. Just haven't had enough time yet, but I still want to see it. I've discussed it many a times with many different friends who've had varying opinions, but we've had good discussions, but now just kind of all these articles that have been coming out, like pointing out certain things, I just want to see it again and kind of just see if it really truly lives up to my feelings walking out of it initially.
Right. I want that too, because I haven't seen it for a second time. And I really think going into a second time, I feel like I would notice more things like in the background and understand characters' actions more. And I think I might even like it better. I hope to at least.
Yeah, me too.
So with that being said, there are two fairly big movies coming out this weekend. You have The Pirates of the Caribbean 5 and The Rock starring in the Baywatch remake. So with that in mind, do you think Alien or the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to still be number one, or do you think one of these two movies are going to break it?
I'm going to say that Pirates is going to be number one this weekend, that we don't really know what to anticipate with Baywatch because, you know, Central Intelligence did very well last year with The Rock, and Baywatch certainly could be that kind of sleeper movie that no one expected to do well, and it does well. So I really don't know if it'll take the number two spot.
Well, we're going to take a small break right now, and we will come back with more information on if Pirates or Baywatch is going to break the bank. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. Brian Kluger, joined by the illustrious and the fresh-smelling Preston Barta. and we're talking about, you know, movies coming out this week. And, Preston, you think that Pirates, number five, it's over 2 hours, and it's not getting good reviews, but you still think this is going to be the big one for the weekend?
I think so. I think a lot of the projections right now are kind of hitting around 80 million at the moment, which I don't know if that's the best. I mean, the worst that the best or worst that Pirates has done. So I have no idea, but it still seems pretty good for the reviews being where they are.
Right. So you had a chance to see Pirates, right?
Yes, I did.
So I didn't get a chance to see it. I sent one of my writers. His name's Dan Moran, and he's an awesome dude, and with an open mind, of course. And he action pieces look very good. However, they tried to put everything in, including the kitchen sink, into the plot, and he will never see it again. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, or do you feel the same way, or do you really love it, or do you really hate it?
I feel the exact same way, actually. That's pretty good.
That's so when I read his review, I was going through it, and he actually listed out bullet points, about 12 bullet points of, like, crazy storylines. And then after it, he said, this happens in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. So, yeah, in my review, which you can find on dittonrc.com, I wrote out this analogy, and I compared the Pirates franchise to that friend you invite over to your house that just won't leave.
Like a lingerer, so, man, a lingerer.
Yeah, lingerer. Yeah. Like everything starts off pretty good with this franchise. I love the, you know, original Curse of the Black Pearl, but after a little bit of, you know, like more of these films start churning out, it began to really kind of go south for me, especially the fourth one. And I think this one's better than the fourth one, but you know, you're tired and you're, you know, your friend starts cracking open a bottle of wine and is showing no signs of slowing down anytime soon. So Pirates 2 and 3 are okay, but they don't feel too different. And then, you know, number 4 on Stranger Tides was a disaster, and I only saw that once and never planned to revisit it. And the new one, number 5, is admittedly better than 4, but it's still the same old nonsense of pirates sailing around in a convoluted storyline, and they're trying to recapture the same feeling of Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley's Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann by bringing in like 2 young actors. So they're just trying to do like a lot of the same stuff that they've been doing before. And I felt like I was pretty bored throughout with just annoyance. Like there's thrilling action scenes, like you said, but it's just the same stuff. And I think we're pretty tired and we could care less about these movies now. And so I'm glad that this is supposedly the last Pirates adventure, but I don't really believe it.
Yeah. Because they make $1 billion. They'll revamp it with somebody minus Johnny Depp. I'm curious. How is Paul McCartney in Pirates 5?
He has one really small scene in, I leaned over to my wife who saw the movie with me, and I said, that's Paul McCartney. And I think if I didn't know that he was in the movie beforehand, would not have known that it was him at all. And he has a funny line there, but yeah, he's okay.
He's okay?
He's okay. Yeah, he's okay.
So does it seem like Disney just did a big cash grab and just like, okay, this is the end. We want to make as much money possible without putting a lot of effort into it, maybe minus visually?
I think so. I typically don't like to say the word cash grab when it's like a cheap criticism for a movie, but there's really no other way to describe this movie. I think it's, if you've made it this far and you've seen the other 4, you might as well watch this one, because I think if they trimmed down some of the plot line in 2 and 3 and combined that into one movie, totally could have worked, and then combined some things from 4 and 5, they could have just made it a trilogy and left it alone, because there's just some things that are drawn out in all these movies. And so it's nice to kind of see some of these plot lines like tied up in this last one. But then again, it's just a lot of the same stuff.
So, yeah, it brings closure. It shows Johnny Depp going to, like, a volcano and throwing a ring down it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
A lot of walking.
A lot of walking in those movies. A lot of walking. Well, I guess, you know, what can you say about Pirates? It's going to make tons of money, and I guarantee you within maybe less than 3 years, there's going to be a reboot, and all new actors and a new thing, because why, if these movies make $1 billion each, why stop, you know?
Right.
All right, so that brings us on to our other movie that's coming out, which you would think would be the top winner this week because it has The Rock. And The Rock has been, it's statistically known that whenever The Rock is in a movie, you can smell what he's cooking and he makes a ton of money. However, this movie is hardcore rated R. So I don't think it's going to be Disney Pirates money making. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Disney Pirates money-making either. I just think at this point there's more of a cultural or significance now with pirates. It's a little more fresh than Baywatch it was in the 90s. So I think, with the ability of bringing your kid to the movie and all that, there'll be a lot more enjoyment there. But me personally, I think I would rather go see Baywatch between the two, so you're the lucky one that got to see that one.
Yeah, the Baywatch, I want Baywatch to do well because I like The Rock, and I'm glad they went a hardcore R route with it. However, you know, I doubt it's going to make Pirates money. I'd be surprised if it even broke. If it was number two in lieu of Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know. But Baywatch is out. It is. I mean, this is not something to bring your little kid to, because if you even see the Red Band trailer, you would know there's blood and guts and tons of sexual vulgar references throughout.
So one of my friends who writes for We Covered This, he said it's a 2-hour boner joke lathered in suntan oil.
Yep, it is. That's probably the way to describe it. I mean, which is fine, because, you know, that brings us to like the whole Seth Rogen, James Franco, Jonah Hill type of comedy. Like the best looking people in Hollywood. I'm sorry, Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill, you're gorgeous. But you have these gorgeous people in Hollywood, like D'Addario and Zac Efron and The Rock, doing these types of jokes. So right. I would imagine if you want to see that for 2 hours, you're going to have a good time. I don't think you're going to remember it for a year, but you are, certainly will laugh for the 2 hours. With all these movies coming out in the summer, you know, do you do Guardians, do you do Alien, or do you do the two new ones, Baywatch or Pirates? What is your opinion? Which one would you do this weekend?
I would pick Alien, because that's the movie that I enjoyed the most out of all of them.
Alien? Yeah, I would have to say Alien as well, because there's just, I love Guardians, but I think just seeing Alien again, I think I would love it even more. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Entertainment Answer to discuss more movies and Blu-rays coming up.
This is The Mungle on Movies. I'm Matt Mungle. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales opens May 26th. It has been 6 years since the last adventure, and this one hopefully harkens back to the earlier films. Johnny Depp is back as Captain Jack Sparrow and says this about his character.
For me, he's just sort of endless fun, you know? He's a really fun character to play because I'm allowed to be as irreverent as I want, as stupid as I want, you know?
But why is all the rum gone? For more stuff, go to mungleshow.com or follow me on Twitter at TheMungle.
And welcome back to the Entertainment Answer, Brian Kluger and Preston Barta, as always. We're missing Matt Mungle today. He says he's sick, so I don't know if I believe him or not. He's doing something. He's somewhere secretive. Don't you agree?
Yeah, he's a pretty sneaky dude. He's pretty sneaky.
He's a very, very sneaky sir. So we're talking movies. We're talking movies that are coming out this week. I think our entertainment answer for you listeners is to go see Alien again rather than anything that's coming out this weekend. However, we have a bit of entertainment news we want to share for you. Something that just came out on the wires. If you're a big HBO fan and you watch Silicon Valley, which is an excellent, excellent show, maybe one of the funnier shows on television right now, don't you agree?
I agree.
The actor T.J. Miller, who's been in every episode, he plays the excellent, excellent character, Ehrlich Bachmann, the founder of Aviato, said that he is not returning to season 5 of Silicon Valley, which has been renewed. So I'm not sure what's going on. This is terrible. He's one of the best characters on that show.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to make it. Sometimes shows kind of figure it out. Like, it's worked slightly in the past with, like, shows like The Office, where I know that's kind of, like, opened up a whole other case of worms. But, like, I think if you just kind of settle into it, it's still a good show. So I'm very curious as to how they're going to make it work without him, because he's the funny man.
He is the funny man for sure. And, you know, I'm reading like updates about it, and I don't see anything as to why, other than like he has a hectic schedule. But I feel like, you know, there's 10 episodes each season, 30 minutes each.
Yeah.
You know, they're not talking about, you know, a 24 episode season of, you know, hour long shows. So I don't know. I hope everything was, you know, kosher and mutually agreeing that he would not return. But that's very unfortunate.
He must have some pretty good projects in the pipeline. I imagine he'll turn up in Deadpool 2 and other films like that. But like, yeah, how can you turn away from a show that's, you know, critically acclaimed and well received?
Exactly. Like, he's doing the press rounds for the Emoji Movie right now. And then he's going to be in Ready Player One. And then a Western, and then a thriller called Underwater, and then How to Train Your Dragon 3. It's a lot. It's a lot to do, but I mean, we will miss him. But there's other really unfortunate news where somebody has left a big screen film. You want to enlighten us, Preston, on that?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, a few days ago, they released some information about Zack Snyder, who has directed the upcoming Justice League, which opens in November 7th, I think. So he released some news about how his daughter had committed suicide back in March, and they've kind of kept that away from the press and just tried, because him and his wife work together. She's a producer on the film, on his films, and they both decided to just, you know, try to get back into work and try to forget about it. Not really forget about it, but just try to get their mind away from it a little bit. But it just had proven to be too much for them, and they decided to both step away from the post-production of Justice League. And now Joss Whedon, who, you know, behind the Buffy series, Firefly, and then even did the Avengers. So now he's going to be handling all of the post-production part of the film with, so I have no idea. So this it's a very tragic thing that happened, but I haven't been the biggest fan of a lot of Zack Snyder's work as of late with the superhero genre. I just think a lot of the problems kind of come from the editing. So maybe this is kind of like, I hate to say, it's such a dark thing to say, like, this is kind of like a bittersweet thing that Joss Whedon kind of stepped into here, and he could probably save the franchise. But, it's a very, very extremely sad thing, and I hate that for Zack Snyder. I don't want to see that happen to anybody.
We'll get more on this in a second. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Mungle on Movies. I'm Matt Mungle. From Universal Pictures Home Entertainment comes the surprise hit of the year, Get Out. It's available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital May 13th. Get Out received 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and critics called it funny, scary, thought-provoking. Now, the writing, humor, and twist made this one of my favorite movies of the year, and there certainly will be a copy in the Mungle home. Now, for your chance to win one of your own, you can head over to mungleshow.com or follow me on Twitter at The Mungle.
Welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. Brian Kluger and Preston Barker, as always, here. We were talking about the unfortunate news of Zack Snyder having to leave the big Justice League movie due to some family issues of his daughter's suicide a couple months ago. And then One of our favorite directors, Joss Whedon, stepping in to take over a lot of the post-production, maybe reshoots of the film. And, you know, it's a very unfortunate thing, but you brought up some good, you know, some good points, Preston. I mean, we're not talking about, like, this guy personally. We're just, we want the best film for us. And when Zach has been a part of Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, it just hasn't, you know,
gelled very well with the franchise.
Yeah, it's very rare to find someone who actually really enjoys those movies.
Yeah, I think he's a super passionate filmmaker. His head is in the right place. It's just, it has proven to be too much for him because there's, if you look at Batman v Superman, like, it probably could have benefited from being a smaller scale movie. Like, they put $150 into, you know, all the green screen effects. And, you know, if you look at Deadpool with the, you know, smaller budget, they just narrowed down the storyline. Would have been a much better film. At this point, since he's already directed all the scenes except for some of these additional scenes that they're going to be shooting throughout the summer, all of it's been shot. So at this point, it's just kind of Joss Whedon's going to be working extensively with the editors to try to get this film to be the best film it can be with the footage that they have and some of the additional footage that they're going to be shooting.
Right. No, I agree. I'm glad Joss is doing this. I feel bad, very bad for Zack Snyder, and I wish him the best in future endeavors. But I really do think that this will be Snyder's movie. And,
I don't expect them to put, you know, directed by Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon at the end or anything like that. It's still going to be very much his film. So it's just, as you said, just a friend helping out another one. So,
yeah. So we hope for the best there. But let's move on. Let's move to something happier. Let's move on to some Blu-ray and 4K news. Because a lot of people like to stay home and watch their Blu-rays, watch their 4Ks on TV. And, you know, you get a lot of extras with that, that you don't get with the theater. You get tons of bonus features, tons of really, you know, cool things. And, before we get into the stuff that's coming out on May 30th, next week, I want to talk about two really cool movies, that came out this past week. Let's quick mention of Get Out. If you haven't seen that, seriously, buy it. It is so worth your time. It looks and sounds amazing. And the extras, you have a commentary by Jordan Peele, which is excellent. And then tons of deleted scenes and a crazy, very sour alternate ending.
Yes.
Now, this alternate ending, this was his original ending. And aren't you so glad that they didn't use that?
Absolutely. I don't want to get too much into spoilers or anything, but... Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the deleted scenes and alternate endings to, like, Titanic, where you see Bill Paxton just going, oh, like, screaming to the air. You know, they have that whole deal with the heart of the ocean going in the water.
Yeah.
So it just felt like that. Like, if you watch this, you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad he did not decide to do that. And so, yeah, the way that it plays in the movie is the way it should be, and I'm glad it is. So,
right. And a couple other extras on it are, like, behind the scenes. And then there's about four or five different outtakes of the end of the film, which is, like, more of a comedic moment of different lines they use. And they're pretty funny. It's worth buying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other one that you need to buy, this is a must-own as well, the 4K UHD of Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Holy God, there's four discs in it. You get two 4K discs. One is the theatrical version. The other is the Logan Noir version, which is the black and white version. And the other two are Blu-rays of the same things. Now, have you watched this yet on 4K or Blu-ray?
I did not get it on 4K. I watched it on Blu-ray, and it looks really good. I watched a little bit of the black and white version as well, and it's just spectacular. So
It is. And it's, you know what? So I reviewed the Mad Max Fury Road Silver Chrome Edition
Me too.
Or Black and Chrome Edition. And, you know, there are pros and cons to that. It looked amazing. You notice more detail. And that's the same way, I think, with this Logan one. The color is pretty good in the movie. However, the black and white, you just notice so much more detail here, I thought.
Yeah. I think of the two black and white versions between Mad Max Fury Road and Logan, I think Logan looks the best in black and white and plays the best in black and white to me, just because I feel like the colors are a little more important to the storyline in Mad Max Fury Road. That, you know, if you look at the colored version and the black and white version, there's, as you said, pros and cons to both. Like, there's no better version of the two. They both just have their pluses and minuses. But for this one, I think, as you said, it's probably about the same both ways. But I think it plays pretty well as a black and white film compared to Mad Max Fury Road, black and chrome.
Right. No, yeah, I agree. But there's tons of really cool extras. You get commentary by the director, James Mangold, behind-the-scenes stuff. It's worth your time. It's excellent. Sounds amazing. It's one to get. But let's talk about next week. Let's talk about next week. There are two awesome Criterions coming out next week.
Yep.
One is Martin Scorsese's World Cinema Project number 2. Now, I had the distinct pleasure to review number 1, part 1, and it is a collection of films from around the world that Martin Scorsese has handpicked to show in this collection, and they're all amazing. And I'm so glad that Criterion is doing this again. If you're curious about what cinema is like going on around the world, this is one definitely to pick up. It's mm-hmm. a bit pricey, but it's completely worth it.
Yeah, because it comes with the Blu-rays and the DVDs.
Correct. That is very correct. And I can't recommend it enough. The other one, which is one of
Ghost
my,
World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the favorites from a long time ago. I can't believe it's finally getting a Criterion release. Ghost World is, if you're a fan of writing or comics or graphic novels, Ghost World is the one for you. And I'll tell you why after this commercial break. We'll be right back to talk about it.
This is the Mungle on Movies. I'm Matt Mungle. From Universal Pictures Home Entertainment comes the surprise hit of the year, Get Out. It's available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital May 13th. Get Out received 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and critics called it funny, scary, thought-provoking. Now, the writing, humor, and twist made this one of my favorite movies of the year, and there certainly will be a copy in the Mungle home. Now, for your chance to win one of your own, you can head over to MungleShow.com or follow me on Twitter at The Mungle.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer, where we try to have the answer to everything involving movies, music, and even pro wrestling. I think Preston has an answer for pro wrestling, don't you?
About the movie Ready to Rumble, for sure. That's the only experience with wrestling that I've had. And it'll stay that way, Brian.
I really want to bring up David Arquette in everything we do from now on. In some way or form. We need to. But let's get back to the Blu-ray talk about Ghost World on Criterion coming out. Now, I want you to tell everybody how awesome Ghost World is.
Oh, boy. You know, it's interesting because me and Gwen Reyes, who also writes for FreshFiction.tv, we had a pretty interesting discussion about how this movie will play for people who have not seen it today, like compared to watching it back in 2000. Was it 2003, I think it came out?
No, 2001.
2001. So, yeah, it's been quite a while. So it's going to be unique to see how a lot of people hang on one second. I need to step out for 1 minute.
Okay.
We'll cut back in, so Matt will have to do a little bit of work.
Okay.
Boss just came in.
No worries.
Okay, so take two. Yeah, so Ghost World, I saw it when I was in high school, and I wasn't much into it then. I saw it a couple of times, but, you know, recently revisiting it on the great Criterion release, I enjoy it much more now than I did then. I don't know if you feel the same way. You probably enjoyed it much more than I did when I was, because I'm about 10 years younger than you, I would say, right?
Yes. Yes. 20 years younger than Matt, though. So
I wonder if Matt's seen it.
I would hope so. But yeah, I mean, this movie, it's a graphic novel, and it's just so well done on such a subtle level. It stars Steve Buscemi, Thora Birch from American Beauty, and a very young Scarlett Johansson before she was really famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a very, like, dry comedy drama. Is that how you would describe that?
Yeah, it's pretty... It's a kind of a slow burn movie. Like, not a whole lot happens in it. It's just kind of like a hangout. You're just kind of thrown into this particular situation with these characters, and it's not very meaty or anything like that. It's just like, you know, these characters kind of hanging out with each other, having the normal out of high school experience where so much is going on in your college life or post high school life where you're trying to decide, what should I do with my life? What kind of jobs should I take on? And so it kind of deals with a lot of those themes, but within this kind of world, you know, lush world that this director does for it. So yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah. And there's audio commentaries by the director, Terry Zwigoff, on here, and the comic book creator and screenwriter, as well as new interviews with Thora Birch, and deleted scenes, tons of cool stuff on there. So I would say that would be the one to get this week, don't you?
I think so. It's a little more accessible than the World Cinema Project, I would say.
Right. And then if you like the mainstream stuff, like we all do, of course, you have Fist Fight with Charlie Day and Ice Cube coming out from Warner Brothers on Blu-ray, as well as the Speed Racer complete series coming out, which is crazy. And also, I don't even want to mention it. I got to. The Black Coat's Daughter, formerly titled February. Worst movie I've ever seen at Fantastic Fest. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's Blu-ray news. Get those. But, yeah, earlier in the show, we talked to Preston. Preston said he went to Austin, some crazy thing he did there. Preston, did you survive? Am I talking to the real Preston right now? What happened? What did you do?
I actually uploaded my consciousness to the computer before I left, so I'm still alive, and that's who you're talking to now.
Oh, God. It's T2 all over again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was so much fun. So, yeah, I was invited by A24, who, you know, produced movies like Moonlight and Room and Ex Machina. So they churn out some pretty good movies. And so they're doing the upcoming horror film, It Comes at Night, which opens on June 9th, I believe. And so it's the latest movie from Trey Edward Schultz, who did the movie Krisha last year through A24 as well.
Which movie was awesome. Krisha was a great movie.
Yes, yes, it was. And so this is a great companion piece with that movie, just because it's just kind of dealing with more themes, and it's a little different than what you may be anticipating. So I think to kind of tease the movie a little bit.
Tease it after this commercial break. This is our last commercial break.
Sure.
And we'll be right back with all of the details.
This is the Mungle on Movies. I'm Matt Mungle. From Universal Pictures Home Entertainment comes the surprise hit of the year, Get Out. It's available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital May 13th. Get Out received 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and critics called it funny, scary, thought-provoking. Now, the writing, humor, and twists made this one of my favorite movies of the year, and there certainly will be a copy in the Mungle home. Now, for your chance to win one of your own, you can head over to mungleshow.com or follow me on Twitter at The Mungle.
Back to the Entertainment Answer. We're about to find out from Preston Barta about all of the details of this interesting situation in Austin.
Preston. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it comes at night. Bunch of journalists were invited to go see this experiment. They call it, I've never heard of this word before, so I like to use it now, but experiential screening. So it's a lot like if you're familiar with the Alamo Drafthouse, they do this Roland Road show with Jaws where you know, instead of watching a retro screening of Jaws where you just go to the theater, watch it, they screen it out on the water. And so that's the idea with this film as well. The movie is set in the woods, and you get to watch it in the woods. So we, a bunch of journalists and movie fans, just got together, rode a bus out to the middle of nowhere. I still don't know where it was, and that's kind of the fun of it. So you just start going down this dirt road, and then I swear it felt like a little bit of a mix between, like, Breaking Bad, because there would be, like, some drugged-out-looking dudes, like, looking out from their porches with their shirt off and their trucker hats on. It was very creepy. So Alamo did a really good job of making us, crap our pants before we even get to the movie. So yeah, once we get off the bus and got where we needed to be, you watch the movie on this inflatable projector screen, and the sound was incredible out there because, you know, the movie, as I said, is set in the woods, so you have all the atmospheric nature sounds of crackling branches and coyote howls and crickets and things like that. So it was definitely an experience that I will cherish for the rest of my life, and that's for sure.
And so It Comes at Night. I know you were super excited about this movie. Did it live up to your expectations? Is it scary as hell?
Yes and no. I have to be honest, and I actually admitted this to the director when I interviewed him the following day, which was, I said, I got to be honest with you, sir. So I watched this movie, I saw the trailer beforehand, and it makes it look like this psychological thriller, the kind of stuff that I just love to watch. And so after the movie was over, I was a slightly disappointed by how it was just a movie about a family, you know, protecting themselves from this global epidemic that is happening around them. And then it just kind of deals with themes of trust and survival. So when another family kind of comes into the picture, you start asking yourself, oh, should I trust this person? But it also would help me if they were around, because then I can better defend myself. And so it's more of a movie that just kind of asks all these questions. It's a little ambiguous. So it's just kind of up to the viewer to decide a lot of the answers here. So if you're into that sort of thing where it's not like a crowd-pleasing blockbuster horror film, then you might be slightly disappointed.
All right. So for true horror buffs fans of Krisha, they're probably going to really like this movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's just a horror movie that's not your typical type of horror movie. And I think if you like movies where you go home and you think about it, because that's the truth. Like, after I saw the movie, I've just thought about it this entire time since seeing it. And so I think that that's powerful as well. It doesn't always have to be that movie that you may revisit all the time.
All right. So that's a fun screen. I mean, I hope they do those types of screenings here for us in Dallas, because that would be really fun. But that brings us an end to the Entertainment Answer radio show. We miss Matt Mungle. He'll be there next week. But Preston, thanks so much for joining in. This was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
And, of course, we recommend, our answer is Alien Covenant, again in the theater, Logan on Blu-ray, as well as Ghost World on Criterion. And It Comes at Night when it comes out. And, of course, if you're not watching pro wrestling, watch pro wrestling. Thanks again, everybody.
Yeah.